What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It is the Q&A show here on FightfulSelect.com. Let's go ahead and get into it. Vin says, the WWE talent have their number of appearances prorated due to no live events? No, I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's still a number of appearances based on that agreement and based on those terms, and they are paid accordingly. But they weren't doing live events for a while, even, or planning on doing live events before a lot of this. So I don't think so. There haven't been a lot of adjustments to contracts, but there have been people that have been asked to take pay cuts along the way because of all this as well. But I don't know if they were going to bring back a ton of live events throughout the summer and fall. Chris says, if AEW and New Japan can't bridge the gap within the next year or so, could you see AEW partnering with another Japanese company like Dragon Gate or All Japan? No, what they need is marquee top names to help put them over the top, and I don't know that Dragon Gate or All Japan have those that will move the needle in the States. In the States, the needle will be moved with Bullet Club, Okada, Tanahashi, Naito, maybe even Jay White to a degree, but there are really five or six names specifically that AEW could really, really use to make a big difference in their company. I don't think that that's something that they would get from All Japan. Simon says, haven't asked one for ages. What has the backstage reaction been in WWE and AEW from the higher-ups to the speaking out movement? Well, in AEW, I know it's been to handle things as best they can, and fortunately, not a ton of their people were implicated. Some WWE people were implicated, but a lot of people were out on the indie circuit. I haven't heard a lot from WWE higher-ups because they've been dealing with other stuff, and quite frankly, they just haven't been around. They haven't been taping shows since that happened, so I haven't heard a lot about that. I haven't heard back from a lot of people about it either. I know that some of the top wrestlers are like, yeah, it needs to be cleaned up. I heard from people from Impact that said that they hadn't personally experienced anything like that, but they hope that this makes people think again before doing it. I've even heard from some people who have done some unsavory things in the past that were grossed out and disgusted by this, and you know, of course, they're scared because they did some bad shit in the past, and they don't want to keep paying for that. And yeah, it's going to happen. People are going to keep bringing it up. And that's just the nature of the wrestling business right now. As far as AEW goes, they're in the same boat where they haven't taped since these accusations came out. So I'm just starting to hear stuff where people are backstage, they're talking, they're saying, did you hear about this person? Did you hear about that person? I know the Bucks were upset. They were very upset about the situation with Joey Ryan. I don't know about Marty Scurll, but Joey Ryan, I know for sure they were very upset about that because that was their friend. Was there any talk of removing Riddle's debut from Friday? No, from what I understand, and this is a full disclosure, since SummerSlam week of last year, I've only spoken to Matt Riddle one time, at least privately. One time, it was about a three-message exchange. We're not like super close or anything, but from everything that I heard within WWE, they believe him and back him, and he had made them aware of this situation last year and had made WWN aware of the situation 2 years ago, and he's taking legal steps from what I understand. But no, there was no talk of removing it that I was aware of. Simon says, what do you think about wrestling companies' reaction so far to the allegations? Have they done enough to protect their talent on shows over the years? Well, the short answer to that is no, they haven't done enough. I thought AEW's response has been really good. WWE's, they fired Jack Gallagher. I think that was good. I guess Jack Gallagher got canned. He's no more. AEW sent Jimmy Havoc to, or I don't know if they sent him to rehab or if he did it himself. And then they suspended Sammy Guevara. And it is, you are innocent until proven guilty, but that doesn't mean that a lot of these people are going to have a great time backstage as a result, because a lot of these people, there's pretty overwhelming evidence. I don't think Ring of Honor has done enough. I don't think they've done anything. And that's the biggest PR gaffe of the entire coronavirus era for them. They did so many really good things, and then they've just been blank to this and just let Marty comment on his own. They should have commented something. They should say something. As empty as it may be, say that he's suspended or something. You're not running shows. It's an empty suspension. Do something. Patrick says, what is happening with Chelsea Green? Is she getting called up or staying in NXT? The plan was to call her up. It's just they aren't going to immediately debut every single person that they call up. Because look, they called up Shayna Baszler. What's she doing now? Nothing. They called up Bianca Belair. What's she doing now? Nothing. So there's no reason to bring her in for nothing right now. What's the plan for Io Shirai? I don't know, to be NXT Women's Champion. You ask what the plan is for Tegan Knox. She's in the tag team with Shotzi right now. If you're asking me for creative plans for people, I'm not always going to be privy of the creative plans. And I know people joke a lot about reporters saying plans change. They do change a lot. That's why you don't hear me reporting a lot on future creative. I'll report backstage stories and how people feel about certain situations and things that happen. But the creative changes so often in WWE, I don't even bother looking at that unless it's a script for that night or something that already happened. Jeffrey said, did Paul Heyman do the right thing continuing to try to push new stars during the crowdless shows, or should he have tried to hold down the fort until crowds return? I think they should have been protected more. I don't know if that's him. I don't know if that was Vince. But they brought up so many people and pushed these new stars, but they 50-50'd like all of them. Aleister Black was really the only one out of the quote-unquote catering crew, and Drew McIntyre, who got a massive push, that were not 50-50'd. Street Profits 50-50'd, Viking Raiders, Angel Garza, Austin Theory, Andrade, Apollo Crews, all these people just got 50-50'd. Nobody just wins. That's unfortunate. Reed says, can you remind me of what story was behind the Undertaker versus Undertaker feud? Well, the original Undertaker, quote-unquote, died. He was killed and rose to the ceiling or whatever the hell they did, struck by lightning. And around the summer of 1994, Ted DiBiase, who originally brought in the Undertaker, debuted Brian Lee as the Undertaker. Now, Brian Lee would go on to be known as Chains in the Disciples of Apocalypse and was close to Undertaker and was close in size to him, but he worked a ton of matches as Undertaker. And this went on a while. It was late May. They filmed one where he beat the eventual Aldo Montoya. Then they had him on Raw where he beat Mike Bell. And that was towards the end of June. This was a while afterwards. But really, July and August, they ran a two-month thing where he would be on TV beating primarily jobbers. I mean, I think Tatanka one time. But he was on Raw a couple times. He was on Superstars a bunch of times. Wrestling Challenge. He was on every show portraying The Undertaker. He did like 9 matches. And then most of August was the build and the tease of the original Undertaker returning. Paul Bearer was bringing his Undertaker in. And at SummerSlam 94, they had like Leslie Nielsen doing like a naked gun investigation, so to speak. But that was, you look back at that show, that was a loaded show with Undertaker versus Undertaker, Bret Hart versus Owen Hart in a cage match, Razor Ramon versus Diesel in an Intercontinental title match, Alundra Blaze and Bull Nakano in a women's title match. Like, there were some good matches on there for then. Now, you also had your Jeff Jarrett's versus Mabel's, Tatanka versus Lex Luger's, but pretty solid show for WWE right there, even though it doesn't look that good always. Is there a reason why C.W. Anderson never made it or had a shot in a major promotion above places like ECW and MLW? Well, he was in NWA until they just kind of canned that. He did a couple spots for WWE in late 2004, I think it was. And I want to say that he did a couple spots for TNA, one in 2004, one in 2010, when they did that stuff. It was just marketability, I would imagine, the look, I would imagine. Jeffrey says, could you see the final Edge versus Orton match main eventing WrestleMania 37 for the championship? I could, but I don't know if it will. I don't think that they would risk maybe putting the title on Edge and him being injury prone. Do you know Omega was supposed to face at Wrestle Peter Pan for DDT? I don't have a clue. I am not plugged into the DDT scene. Who is head of talent relations prior to Jim Ross? J.J. Dillon was. He actually talked about it on an ill-fated show that we did a couple times. You can look it up on our YouTube at J.J. Dillon or just search our search bar. He talks about it a lot. He was doing a lot of stuff for WWE at that point. Ali Bazi says, going into pro wrestling training, what do you think the best training to do is before it? I did high school wrestling at 215 and learned a lot from it. I would suggest catch-as-catch-can wrestling. Good old catch-as-catch-can wrestling. Teaches you to wrestle basically without the aids of ropes or turnbuckles in case you ever get there. Graham says, not expecting you to name sources, obviously, but has the speaking out movement made you more wary of the texts and messages you receive from wrestlers or promoters, given how widespread and severe some allegations have been? Yeah, but I'm always wary of something like that. If I get something questionable, I make sure to keep it, like, just in case it's ever needed. It's some stuff like that, man. And I mean, like, from a legal standpoint, from a harassment standpoint, anything like that, you got to keep a record of stuff like that. But I've had a lot of people that were just reached out to me and they were shocked that their friends had something to do with shit like this. That's what most of it was. And that's unfortunate. Graham says, between select subscription, super chats, and sponsors, is Fightful now making money more in line with what Jimmy had hoped when this site launched and where he wanted it to be within a few years? Yeah, effectively, because of Fightful Select and super chats, we are profitable now. We're talking about making some moves that might reinvest, and we might not be profitable as a result, but that's helped out a lot, and we're not even getting on-site ad revenue right now because Google kind of screwed with us. But the support from you guys on our live shows and Select has pushed us over the top. So big thank you. I mean, we're not raking it in or anything, but Jimmy rakes it in doing his day job. So he wanted to create something special, and I think we've done that. Jimmy says, you don't have to answer this, but due to the ongoing circumstances, but I had a thought on if Riddle could or should have debuted as a heel. I think he should be a babyface. You don't want to play up something like what's going on as a heel move, but if I'll say this, ahead of the things that have been heard about, he's a very easy person to like, but maybe now not so much, but I don't know if they should exploit that for the sake of babyface and heel. Has Lashley been the best heel build for WWE in recent memory? I kind of like Seth Rollins right now. But Lashley's has been pretty good. Becky says, do you think the Otis, Mandy, and Sonya story could still end up with a Mandy-Sonya romance story further down the line? I've been watching WWE on and off for 20 years, and it's great to finally have someone like Sonya providing a positive lesbian representation, even if the company is still frustratingly reluctant to give her a more overt storyline. Yeah, I think it could. I think it could. Or I think it could come out kind of like the Lana Liv thing, where they had been. And you'll kind of see that Mandy was the heel in all this, maybe. I don't know. They would have to get creative with that because they were pretty open about it. But, man, I love Sonya Deville. We had somebody on our post-show chat accusing me and Warren of being paid by her. Well, accuse all you want. I'm going to keep praising Sonya Deville. I think she's awesome. I think she's a wonderful person. She's been nothing but nice to me in my limited interactions with her. She's wonderful and an excellent performer, hard worker. Everybody seems like they like her. She's overcome a lot, just coming out, if you ever heard that story. And hey, I'm glad that Becky, somebody like you, has somebody to look at, a character to look at for positive lesbian representation. She has not been the first, I can tell you that, but you know, it's not something WWE has went out there with. Michael says, I'm old enough to remember the HBK Diesel feud when HBK enlisted Psycho Sid to be his new bodyguard. I'm getting some knockoff vibes with Ziggler versus McIntyre, especially with Drew calling him Big Daddy Claymore. Could we see Dijak debut on Raw as Ziggler's own version of Psycho Sid? I think that's a fantastic idea, but any bodyguard that's bigger than the person they're bodyguarding is going to get compared to Diesel and Shawn Michaels, or Diesel or Sid and Shawn Michaels, one or the other. However, I do like that. The only thing is, Robert Roode's coming back at some point. We just don't know when. But I think Dijakovic with a group needs to happen. I think it would really, really help. And I like that idea. With Sasha Banks facing Asuka at Extreme Rules, do you have any idea if Bayley will be defending the SmackDown Women's title at the show? I don't have any idea. I'd be surprised if she was. I think they'll probably have her accidentally cost Sasha the title at Extreme Rules. WWE has a habit of running talents down and making them lose matches before they're released. Is that what they're doing with Jeff Hardy? Do you see them making the leap to AEW when his contract is up? No, I think WWE will give him a part-time schedule, and he's still got a long ways. He's got like 9 months left, at least that I know of, 9 months. Danny says, will Ospreay be punished by New Japan, or will they not care? They won't care. They won't care. They won't do anything to him. Danny says, will there be an LIJ split with possibly Naito, Hiromu, and Sanada going face and Evil, Bushi, and Shingo going heel? I think so. That's awful heavy-handed on the face side, but you kind of gotta, right? Because Naito and Hiromu, to me, are the two most over. And then Shingo is right there with Hiromu in some degrees. But yeah, I think that split could be interesting. I mean, they would add more to each individual stable. Adam says, with Charlotte being out, what do you think about Sasha and Bayley having all the gold until they break them up? Would suck for Asuka, but find her another story. She doesn't need the belt. Well, that's the thing. I think the Kabuki Warriors could go after the tag belts. And I think that would be an interesting story, is that Asuka and Kairi win the tag belts and they split Bayley and Sasha on brands. So Asuka's like, oh, you're coming to take my title. I'm taking your best friend. I think that could be very interesting. Ben says, have you given many tips to other people about how to be a good contributor or anchor for a podcast? I noticed how insanely good Warren and Alex have become, for example, and wondered if you ever offer suggestions or if that's a case of practice makes perfect. Well, I have to tell you, I don't think Warren had done it before us, but he was a natural. I can tell you that, man, he reached out to me because I wanted somebody to do a retro review with. He went and bought a mic. We did it, and he was so good that I was immediately like, you're hired. I'm doing more stuff with you. We got to get you on the air. And it is real hard to do a one-hour show by yourself and keep people awake. And they do it really well. I've been very blessed to be able to at least see that people have that ability to do so. And I haven't had to offer a ton of like advice or anything like that. I'm more than happy to, but it's like, I don't really know what advice I would offer besides be yourself, be honest, be entertaining. Also try to be respectful as best you can. But I've been very, very fortunate that Warren and Alex are two of the guys that I found. I will say I did find them, but I get the feeling with those two guys, they were going to get there no matter what. It was just a case of right time. Unfortunately, I was the one that snatched him up. Great, great podcasters. Ben also says, with regards to your own career as a host, what differences have you found doing shows at Fightful compared to Wrestling Inc. before in terms of the freedom you have to cultivate your on-air personality? Well, you can go back and watch those and you can tell that they are nowhere near the same. And this is not a shot at Wrestling Inc., but you're talking about my first 5 months as a podcaster. We did like 5 months audio and then about 6 months video. So I was really in my first year of podcasting. I had done some phone shit on Blog Talk Radio before that. I had done some little videos here and there, but now I get to do and say whatever I want, and within reason, and I get to be myself and do things the way that I so choose. And Fightful, I do have a lot more freedom at Fightful, but that's because I have a larger part to do with it. It's not because Raj prevented me from doing it. Since you and Jimmy started Fightful focusing on wrestling, MMA, and boxing, have you guys adjusted the focus up or down for any of those sports based on demand, or has the balance stayed steady? Yeah, it's gone definitely more wrestling heavy. Since James Lynch left a year ago, we went full bore with wrestling. Full bore with wrestling. We still have some MMA and boxing, but we might make more of an effort for the combat end very, very soon. As to me, more of a, I don't want to say a last ditch effort, but to me, if the move that we're making doesn't work, then I'd be like, are we even going to stick around covering MMA full time? Because there's not as much into it. It's harder to establish yourself in MMA, I've found. JJ says, how will the Matt Riddle allegations impact not only his push, but how he's perceived in the locker room? I haven't heard of it affecting his push yet, but it has affected him, his perception in the locker room a little bit. But he's adamant about his innocence. So the couple of people that I've talked to about it have said that they're waiting to see things out in that regard. But, of course, they are cognizant of this. Why aren't Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair on TV? I'll tell you why. Because WWE has this weird thing where if they don't have a specific program for somebody, and for women, a title program, they keep them off TV because they don't have enough confidence in their just inept booking to keep somebody on TV and keep them over without a story, or to give them a supporting story. It's so annoying. Edge and Orton to close it out at Mania 37 would be great. Do you think we get Seth after that? I don't know what you mean by that. Do you mean like Seth cashing in, Seth doing something? I don't know. Anakin says, when talking to wrestlers or people in creative, do you ever tell them what you think will happen or pitch or suggest anything? If so, what's their normal response? I've pitched a few things to people. Like, there are a few people that I talk to from a friendly manner. And one, you would be very surprised at, one, that they'd be receptive, and two, what they were receptive of. I mean, there have been a couple that have been like, eh, I don't like that idea. But usually if I pitch something, it's pretty positively received. Anakin says, what exactly determines who from NXT is in the crowd for shows? I thought it was people who haven't been on TV, but we've seen Bivens and Chelsea Green in the audience. Well, Chelsea Green is finished up, and Malcolm Bivens was not on TV at that point. They had taken Indu Cher off TV. I don't know what the situation is. A lot of the top people, they put on the hard camera side. That way they don't have to put them on there. But usually it's supposed to be Performance Center recruits. I know a lot of people have just said no. Has Tessa Blanchard gotten any heat for being stuck in Mexico? Assuming her contract expires and she does leave while champion, how would Impact crown a new champ? They're just going to crown one at Slammiversary, whether she's there or not. But yeah, there's some heat on her for it. Tim Klepp says, I know Dave Lagana has had a big hand in the resurrection of the NWA product. What are the type of changes you could see happening with NWA now with Lagana resigning? I think it'll be something categorically different because Lagana was the driving force behind that, and he ain't going to be anymore. He is not going to be anymore. I don't know who they could possibly bring in to even run that. Maybe they could be like Dave Marquez, come do it, maybe. But I think it would probably be in his vision. Do you think the Aces and Eights tease on Impact will lead to their return? Do you think Gallows and Anderson could be debuting as a part of the group? Yes, I do, and yes, I do. I think that both of those things will happen. I think that they will come back, at least briefly, and I do think they'll be a part of the group. Cody seems to be dropping more and more hints each week of a possible heel turn. What do you think his first feud as a heel could be? Well, I like that they don't go heel with people. They let you decide month to month. But I think that maybe Kenny Omega would be a good one down the line. But his first one? Probably one of the Jurassic Express, if you want me to be honest. How many hours of screen time would you say you have in a given day? Well, let's see. 3 hours of Raw, 1 hour of a podcast after that, 2 hours of Impact, and usually an hour of NWA on Tuesdays, and then a 20-minute MMA show. Wednesdays, I do an hour and a half on Listen Your Boy, and List Goes On. I do two and a half hours taking in AEW and NXT, and I had been doing an hour and a half of that podcast. I do an hour podcast after SmackDown, 2 hours there. It depends on what you mean by screen time. Like face in front of a screen? My face is in front of a screen, unfortunately, at least 12 to 14 hours, 6 days a week, roughly now. Very hard to find any of your wrestling, Sean. Where is it? I've had most of it delisted, except for one match with my tag team partner, and I gassed out immediately. But I don't want that out there. I did that to learn and get experience, not to really have it studied and dissected and all that stuff. I wanted to be better at the job I'm doing now, so I trained and I wrestled. Any chance Fightful opens a TikTok? Could be awesome. Very little chance. Young Bibby says, outside of the horsewomen, you think WWE has done a good job consistently pushing Alexa and Asuka towards the same level or close? Who else do you think has been booked or done well outside of those four? None besides Bliss and Asuka. Just those two. Nia has always seemed on the level as well, but really just those two. If it weren't for the allegations against them, do you think Velveteen Dream would have won the NXT Championship? Yes, I do. There's a lot of heat on Velveteen Dream. Lots. If it weren't for backstage heat, do you think Kennedy could have been a bigger star, or did he have a certain ceiling? I think he was going to be WWE or World Heavyweight Champion, probably World Heavyweight Champion, if not for the heat around him. But unfortunately, that heat did happen. Leanna Martin says, with the level and depth of talent in the Knockouts division, have you heard any rumors of them bringing back the Knockouts tag team titles? People want them to. People in Impact want them to. And as I've mentioned, ODB and Eric Young were the last champions. I know they got quote-unquote stripped, but the titles were vacated and just abandoned a week later. So, I would have them show up at Slammiversary as if they never left. As if they've been champions the whole time, and I would have Kiera and Tasha Steelz beat them for the titles. I know there are quite a few people that want those belts back, and why not? Why not do it? I see it as a real good possibility. I mean, there's a possibility they're going to hang on to Tessa, but they've got Tennille, Taya, Susie, Sue Young, Tasha Steelz, Madison Rayne, Nevaeh, Kylie Rae, Kimberly, Havoc, Deonna, even Alicia Edwards, Jordan Grace, Havoc, Kiera. Like, they've got so many people, and they can bring in more. They got Katie Forbes running around there, too. She could take a pin or something like that. Lots of options. Any update on the Tessa Blanchard situation with Impact? No, I've just heard they just aren't that sure what will happen. With Elgin suspended and her situation in limbo, do you see the world title match being a triple threat at Slammiversary? Yeah, I think it very well could be a triple threat match at Slammiversary. In regards to the Raw Women's Championship at Extreme Rules, I see Sasha losing to Asuka due to Bayley costing her and setting up their feud. What do you think will happen in this match? I think that will happen. Either that or Sasha does win the title, and as I mentioned, Asuka and Kyrie go after the tag titles and effectively split Sasha and Bayley to where they can't get a title shot together again, because they're where Sasha would have to lose the Raw title and go back to SmackDown. There's a lot of creative ways to play it. Ray says, was putting Riddle on SmackDown a Fox or ratings move, or did WWE do it because they know it's easier to avoid Riddle poking the bear too much for a match with Brock? Brock's never around. They don't care about that. Paul Heyman didn't push for Matt Riddle when Matt Riddle was available. That's it. SmackDown got him. Was making the TNT title viewed as equal the long-term reason why they had Cody not able to be the AEW champ? No, it wasn't, but I think him not being able to be AEW champ is a reason that he won it, if that makes any sense. I know you don't cover much CZW, but do you think Lufisto's video pushed this speaking out movement forward? What's the status of CZW right now after she went on? Oh, they're still doing their thing. Go listen to her interview with Warren where she breaks this down. And Ray, you said you hope this wasn't too far of a question because you've been careful to avoid defamation. This was a much different situation. They were blatantly marketing their female matches in very odd ways. And she talked to Warren about that at length. No, I think that Tori, who is Slay Mysterio on Twitter, talking about David Starr, helped push this forward in wrestling. I mean, I'm not going to give her a Twitter handle because she's unprotected. But the ex-girlfriend of David Starr, I can't thank her enough. She had the common courtesy and decency to message me a week before this all came out. And she said, listen, I think you're a nice guy. I think you're a good person. You shouldn't have anything to do with David Starr. And I reached back out and I said, hey, Tori, I was on a quiz show with him. That was the extent of it. I'm very sorry this happened to you, but I obviously didn't know any about this ahead of time. We were just booked on a game show. That's it. don't know the guy, we're not friends, we haven't talked, and I can't tell you how important that was to me that she was willing to reach out to me with what she was going through and what she had went through, that she took the time to think of me, and she didn't have to, and most people wouldn't. And I'm not asking most people to, especially people that have been through what she's been through. But I think that says a lot about her character, and I will never forget that. There are certain things that people do for you that you'll never forget. I will never forget that coming from that person who experienced that kind of pain and was about to experience a lot more opening up those wounds, that she thought of that. So I think that she's responsible for pushing that forward. And I got to say, I don't know a lot about the allegations that Taylor Hendrick levied against ROH. And she works for us, full disclosure. And I talked to her about a lot of this, and it was fucking heartbreaking, man. It was fucking heartbreaking, man. Because when I hired her, I had people say, watch out, watch out, watch out, man. And do I watch out with everybody? Yeah, I watch out with everybody. I do my background on everybody we hire. I knew who I was hiring when I hired Taylor Hendricks, and I knew she had been blackballed because she spoke out. Now, I can't speak to the allegations. I wasn't there, but I definitely know that she raised concerns with Ring of Honor before she went public, well before she went public. And to hear her talk about this, about how she spoke out, and about how she got fucking blackballed for it, man, it broke my heart. And the fact that she has stayed in wrestling and does it in an almost unanimously positive way, I respect that a lot too. Because it ain't easy to stay in wrestling. It can't be easy to stay in wrestling after that. It certainly isn't easy to stay in wrestling right now with all this sick shit going on. But I got a lot of respect for both Tori, who came and told me that, and Taylor Hendricks, who, by all intents and purposes, experienced it and got blackballed. Any update on Xavier Woods' return? His examination or his evaluation was supposed to be May or June, but that was as of like early this year, so I don't know a lot about that. When he does return, do they free bird the tag titles, or return Kofi or Biggie to a singles feud? They'll free bird them always. They even say that when they held them when Kofi was WWE champion, that they were free birding it. After Orton punts Big Show back to Netflix, who does he go next at, heading into SummerSlam? Rey Mysterio. What do you see as three top matches for SummerSlam this year? I look at Sasha Banks versus Bayley, Drew McIntyre versus Aleister Black, and they'll probably do Braun Strowman versus The Fiend. Fuck. What do you think Undertaker does now that he's retired but still has a 15-year contract with WWE? Does he join Shawn Michaels as an NXT coach? No, I don't think he'll do any of that. He'll get paid a lot to do nothing, choke slam some people, do some appearances, do some signings, and do some digital content. Walter says, what are your thoughts on the Sammy Guevara situation? It seems hypocritical of AEW after just having Mike Tyson for an angle. I mean, Mike Tyson thing was 20, 30 years ago. It was 30 years ago. And I don't agree with them bringing him in either way. But I thought that they handled the Sammy thing right. And I don't think that that is Sammy today. I don't. I really don't. But he still shouldn't have said it. How long do I think Sammy will be out? I would say 6 weeks. What is your opinion on regarding the retroactive punishments like Sammy's and Lars Sullivan's? I'm not sure it's fair to punish employees for transgressions prior to their employment. I could kind of agree with that. It's supposed to be up to the company to vet these people. But I think that they should start asking them to disclose stuff. And if they disclose stuff, maybe it can be handled a little bit differently. But, yeah, today you have to. And I don't think it should. I think the vetting should be on the behalf of the company. Now, granted, if it's more extreme, like some of the stuff we've seen in the past week, you got to let them go. Can't have somebody that raped somebody before they came in. Then you'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, that's before WWE. You can't get fired. Yeah, you can. Brian Bayless says, do you know how WWE has been handling Velveteen Dream accusations behind the scenes? With kid gloves, not well, just like they do everything with Velveteen Dream. It's not taken seriously. And he ends up just not getting in any real trouble because of it. Any insight or knowledge when it comes to how companies like AEW, WWE, and ROH vet social media and backgrounds of the talent they hire? They do some basic searches and stuff, and I think talent, sometimes they're told, make sure there's nothing there. I know that they had some issues in the past with people, but I think they have teams dedicated to that, but it's all different. I don't know if AEW does. Clearly they don't, but WWE did at one point. Is there a WWE, TNA, or AEW match you consider great that most consider not good and vice versa? I don't know. I liked a lot of the 2010 Big Show, Mark Henry stuff. Maybe it was 2012. 2012, maybe? I love Monsters Ball at Bound for Glory 05. That's one. Really enjoy that one. Pete says, with Aleister Black's momentum seemingly to have stalled, do you see McIntyre versus Orton as a SummerSlam match? Do you think Orton has more championship reigns in him, even coming out of SummerSlam as champion? I don't think he comes out of SummerSlam as champion. It's possible. I do think he has more reigns in him. I do think they might go there, but I would prefer it be Aleister Black. But yeah, I think it's definitely possible, considering the nature of his push and how good his promo work has been. Our boy Throwback says, with the women's tag titles being used more this past week than they had before, who do you think in the future should hold those titles? I feel like a team from NXT, whatever team gets over, should take them from Bayley and Sasha. But again, I mentioned that Kabuki Warriors idea. I like that. I think there are a lot of options. I think the Riot Squad could do good. I mean, they could be a real workhorse team, too. It looks like Daniel Bryan might get his wish. With Riddle now on SmackDown, do you see a possibility of Riddle and Bryan going after AJ's IC title? And what do you think will be the outcome? I think that Bryan and Riddle will cost each other the match, and AJ will win, and Riddle will get pissed off, and we'll have Riddle and Bryan going at it heading into SummerSlam. And I think that's real good. With NXT happening on Wednesday, the North American title has vastly become the version of the IC title, with Lee holding it now. Who should have it next, and what do you think is next for Lee? I think Adam Cole is going to do the winner take all and win it all. For Lee, I don't doubt that he might go after the world title eventually, but he might also get called up. I don't know. He's cooled off a little bit, and that's rough. But as I think that Keith Lee could work with Karrion Kross, and that'd be really good thing to do. Probably put Karrion over. Do you think the future of NXT NXT UK is in trouble, or will they be able to rebound? I think they've been in trouble for a long time, and this is going to hurt them considerably. Should Hangman Page consider changing his name in light of current events and the general stigma that may attach to it? Yes, I think they should. I don't think that it's a good idea. I think he's good enough to get anything else over as well. Frankie said, is Strowman's title reign being hurt by the fact that there really isn't super heavyweight heels on SmackDown? Seems like they're all on Raw or NXT. Yeah, the fact that there's no top heels, period, on NXT is hurting his reign. Feel bad for him, man. I don't watch WWE, or didn't watch WWE when Morrison was around, so I didn't see any of his indie stuff. Has he improved, and how so? He has improved significantly. I didn't necessarily like his indie stuff, or his Lucha Underground stuff, or his Impact stuff. What I see now makes way, way more sense than the stuff that he did last time in WWE. Cameron Hutton says that, like Vince gave a list of people to keep around to Vince Jr., if Vince Jr. were to do the same, who would be on his list? Kevin Dunn. That's the one. Kevin Dunn. Maybe Michael Hayes. Always been curious as to whether your on-air panelists are paid per podcast or flat rate for all their work. They are paid per show. Like, if they're salaried employees, like Jeremy, it's just part of their salary. But Denise, Warren, Alex, they get paid per episode. Dev says, if Charlotte's out to the Rumble, should they split Bayley and Banks between Raw and SmackDown? I mean, hey, you heard me. You heard me. That's the thing. But one of them has to be Raw champion is the thing. Otherwise, they got to go back. I think that's how it's got to be. Any word on how Sable is viewed backstage? She was a huge star for her time, but she gets no love on air. Has she been backstage for any of Brock's run? Yeah, some of it, but not most of it. She doesn't travel to most of the shows. And most of the people that were there back then are not there now, even 15, 16 years ago. But from what I understand, most people are cordial to her. I don't think she had issues with that many people that are still around now. But I've, based on what I've heard, cordial, and she's not there much. Would Vince consider bringing in New Japan stars like Okada and giving them the proper push? Yeah, I think he would. Okada especially. He's undeniable, man. Like, he's going to be major. Mark says, will we see meaningful change in the treatment of females and some males after the events of last week? Yeah, I think we are. I think we are, and it's fucking time. It's time. And you know what? It was time from the beginning. But hey, as they say, time's up. Yes, I think it's going to be a lot safer for women. And if not, I hope. And you know what? If you're a female fan of Fightful and you're ever in an awkward position, you message me, you message somebody from our staff, and we will exhaust our resources to make sure that you are in a comfortable position. Darrell says, will Sasha versus Asuka be a one-off match, or do you think it could be a feud heading into SummerSlam? I think it'll be a one-off. Any word on Baszler entering the women's title picture now that Charlotte will be taking time off? I think they'll move her back in. I think they'll move Bianca back in, too. Do you expect there to be more comedy skits between Street Profits and Angel Garza and Andrade, or will be the heavier focus on a match between them? I think this is going to be a more serious feud than what we have seen before out of Street Profits. Do you think Triple H is risking losing his credibility by giving false statements to the public, like Roman Reigns, WrestleMania removal, and Charlotte's NXT run making sense? Yeah, I do. I talked about that to Denise on the show today. Those media calls used to be so great because Triple H was so honest with us and so forward with us. I don't trust what's coming out of his mouth now, period. I don't trust the guy. That's his own doing. Vince says he wants to make new stars. What do you think makes a new star? Is it long-term consistent booking or a red-hot angle? I think it's both of them. You got to have, one, somebody who's got it. Two, somebody who can deliver in the ring, because that's almost always going to be it, except for Braun, and he's getting there. And you got to have them win. If your idea is to beat somebody until they turn into a sympathetic loser babyface, well, it'll work for Brian and Becky Lynch, but that's it. You don't want that to be your pattern. I have a booking idea. They won't do Bayley and Sasha at SummerSlam. They'll have Sasha lose at Extreme Rules and beat Asuka at SummerSlam for the Raw title while Bayley defends against someone on the SmackDown roster. They want to set up Sasha versus Bayley versus Io at Survivor Series. What do you think? I think the money is in Bayley and Sasha, my friend. I think it's right there. Will Charlotte and Becky being out for the foreseeable future force Vince to establish someone other than the Horsewomen or Asuka? If so, who? Yeah, I think Shayna and Bianca will get there. I really do. But those are the two clear options. Liam says, with WWE struggling for stars right now, would bringing back John Cena for a feud that culminated with Randy Orton punning him be a good way to fill time with Edge out for the foreseeable future? Could it be a good SummerSlam main event? Yeah, it could. It'd be a fantastic one. I've said this before. I don't know why when they had John Cena in for WrestleMania, they weren't like, hey, John, we need an hour of your time. An hour of your time. And John did like, I don't know, 5 squash matches in that period. Just 3-4 minute squash matches that would air on SmackDown once every 2, once every 3 weeks. And some of you might go, well, what's the point? What's the end game? The end game is you got John fucking Cena on your show. Doing what? Doing anything at all. And I know that I might be like, ah, you know what? Another one of these. But there's some kid out there somewhere, probably a lot of them, that are like, man, John Cena's going to be on SmackDown. I'm going to watch that shit. Have him do his promos, set up a pay-per-view feud with, I don't know, Heath Slater for all I care. I don't give a damn. Have him win. Have John Cena kind of reestablish his name as a winner instead of somebody that comes in and loses. Do that. Why not? Why not? Give him a call, for the love of God. Not now. They got a bunch of COVID tests. So they sure as hell aren't going to do it now. They fucked up. You think Chris Jericho will want to have one more run with WWE after he finishes with AEW? I don't think so now, but maybe one more match. Do you think as soon as Roman comes back, they'll try to rerun that match that was meant for WrestleMania with Goldberg? I hope not. No, I think they've moved on from that. I don't know if Goldberg even wants to wrestle anymore. Is Marty Scurll going to be let go from ROH, mutual parting, or hope it blows over? They're all going to hope it blows over. Straight up. They will all just hope that it blows over. Trey says, do you think being the best friends will win the tag titles at Fyter Fest, causing Omega and Paige to break up? Yeah. If not them, I think FTR eventually beats them and carries the tag titles for a while. And that leads to the split, which leads to Young Bucks being even more mad. Whatever happened to Sadie Gibbs? She's still signed with AEW, according to what I'm seeing. Is she still signed? Is it related to backstage issues she had? Well, that didn't help, but she's not exactly all ready yet. And there's some fine-tuning being done there. Or was. Trey says, what do you think will happen with Otis and the Money in the Bank contract? Do you think Mandy will have a big role to play whenever it happens? Yeah, I do. I think eventually Otis stands up for Mandy as she is being disrespected or something. And the only way the person will give him a match is to put that on the line. And then Mandy costs Otis that match and joins whatever smarmy babyface there is, or smarmy heel that there is that did this. And that's how you get Mandy Rose back as a heel, because she's way better as a heel. Just as long as you don't do that, you will never look like me. Shit. Get rid of that. But also, I want to see how Mandy and Otis do in front of a crowd together. Brian said, the NWA talent were said to be on a temporary release. What does that actually mean? If they're able to find new positions, Camille and Thunder Rosa would be huge gets for somebody. I would say that by January of next year, both of those women will be signed elsewhere. Temporary release? I don't know what the hell that means. There was a lot with them I didn't know what the hell that it meant. So, who knows? Can WWE legally freeze people who are not working, like Reigns, Sami Zayn, etc.? Have they? Well, here's the thing. They're not going to do it right now if they do it. They'll wait and do it after. They're not going to do it while people are sitting out right now, unless their contracts are about to come up in a few minutes, like in a few months. But I think they are able to, but I don't think that they have yet. That's not to say that they will not, though. Given the depth issues raised by Speak Out, do you think pro wrestling should be unionized? No, but WWE should be associated. It should be have an association. I think it'd be too hard for wrestling to unionize. It's too much of an individual sport. Do you think Kofi Kingston will be WWE champion again? Unfortunately, I don't, but there's always a possibility that he heats up big time and a situation emerges where they're like, you know what, let's put the title belt on him. Let's make it work. Let's rock this. I thought he was a great champion. I know some people didn't like it. I thought he was really good. I thought the build was amazing, one of the best builds ever. I'm a Kofi Kingston guy. I really like watching him work. I like New Day in general. If all three became WWE champions in the future, I'd be thrilled by that. If Cody were to start a new Four Horsemen, who should be in it? I was thinking FTR and Jack Perry or Spears. Ah, man. So FTR would be the Arn and Tully, obviously. Cody would be the Flair. And then you'd have to have an enforcer. Who would be the enforcer? I think the Horsemen would be more like Evolution than anything. So I think you need a young, big guy. It ain't going to be Hager. I think it might actually be somebody like Wardlow. I don't think Brian Cage fits it either. I think Wardlow does, though. I think Wardlow would slide in there just okay as like the enforcer. But if you wanted to go with more of a worker, I don't know. Actually, wouldn't hate Scorpio Sky sliding in there either. Wouldn't hate that at all. Martin McGreskin says, which wrestler do you personally enjoy watching most and why? I'll give you a male and a female. Sasha Banks and Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega, I have to say, because it's statistical, I rate my matches on a scale of 1 to 10. They start at 5. And if something really shitty happens or a bad booking decision happens, it'll slide below that. But usually, I go into wrestling to enjoy it, so it's going to stay at a 5 or above. If it gets to 6, that means I'm saying to you guys, hey, watch this match. If it gets a 7, I'm saying, this is a damn good match. If it gets to 8, I'm saying, you can't miss this match. 9, you should go out of your way to see it. It's going to be like a contender for match of the month. And 10 is among my favorite matches of all time. Kenny Omega has been involved in all but one of those that I have rated over the last few years. And the only one that he wasn't a part of was a women's match with Charlotte and Becky. That could make me say that I like watching Charlotte too, but I enjoy watching Sasha Banks an awful lot. I like their pace. I like their style. I like how stiff they are. It works for me. You guys work for me. Sending all those questions works for me. I love it. Thank you guys so much. Spread the word. FightfulSelect.com. We're out.